Good afternoon, brethren. It's a lovely day. My father and mother send their love and greetings to you. We were speaking to them earlier. Brother Henry and Sister Margaret would have liked to have been here at the convention, but unfortunately not this time. And it's a joy to be here all together, and we're thankful to the Lord. We've had an extended visit to Victoria this time, and some extra fellowship was a wonderful blessing. He purges. When we consider the word of truth, we find many principles by which our Heavenly Father relates to His earthly family. One such is that He purges. We may not be that familiar with the word purge, purges, or purging in today's language. However, we know other words help us to understand and grasp the general meaning. My initial thoughts of the meaning of purge were simply to clean it out or remove the bad things. We may have heard some of the following uses of purge in health. Purging a boil. We can think of Job. That comes to mind in what he had to endure. In war, purging the enemies comes to mind, ethnic cleansing. In politics and business, purging the corruption to stop those breaking the laws in a hidden way. In religion, purging the sin. Many would have heard a falsehood in the teaching of purgatory, or what was understood to be a purification after death. This frightful teaching was derived from purge. We know that in many examples an error is to be purged. If we now look at the verse that this theme, purge, associates with, it is found in John chapter 15, 1 and 2, which reads in the King James Version, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman," or the vine dresser. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." In this illustration, we note that every branch that bears fruit, he purges. That is, the Heavenly Father tending to the vine's branches. The Heavenly Father desires fruit and therefore purges. As Jesus spoke these words, his followers would be familiar with the growing of the vine and that the tending and husbandry was needed to bear more fruit. The fruit of the vine was a very important resource, and this is no different today. Yet not all are familiar with the practices of tending to a vine. We have another scripture that tells us purging is necessary. 2 Timothy 2:19 through to 22. I'll read. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee from youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." From the King James Version. Here the instruction of the Apostle Paul is for one to purge him or herself from the iniquity, the dishonor and ungodliness. In the New American Translation, purge is given cleanse. If anyone cleanses himself from these things. In reference to Strong's Concordance, the word kathiairo is to cleanse, and in the short definition means cleanse, purify, prune. Further Bible helps expand that the Greek word kathiairo to make clean by purging, removing undesirable elements, hence pruned, purged, eliminating what is fruitless by purifying, making unmixed. The John account tells us he purges, that is, God purges or prunes, cleanses his people to bear more fruit. The Timothy account tells how Christ's followers are to purge or cleanse themselves. And so we have the scriptures make it clear that purging or pruning or cleansing is vitally important. We might ask, how then or what mechanism is to cleanse and purify and prune? Is it not the Word of God, the truth, the divine standard? We recall Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26 says in part, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. God purges with the word, and the believer purges oneself by professing the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 reads, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We have another description of God's word in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We also realize that there is more to purging, and that is the experiences, the tests and trials that are brought about to examine our hearts. Let's look at some examples so that we can follow a thread of God's cord of truth, starting with Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is described as a sinner's prayer for pardon. Reading from Psalm 51, 5 to 10. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The use of hyssop was an instrument for cleansing under the law. And for the believer, it is the cleansing blood of Christ that keeps our heart. We know that sin croucheth at the door, and that we must subdue it and be its master. The fight with sin is a lifetime work. It is also the Christian's fight of faith that we must endure each trial. We see God's grace in that he has been so merciful in the provision of sin, as we had last night, God's amazing grace. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, or an intercessor, a helper, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. We would understand that we must recognize that we are first sinners, fallen, and in a lost state, requiring a Redeemer. Even the forerunner to Christ, we find John the Baptist was a vessel for God's plan and purposes. He proclaimed a need to confess one's sins, and in that, needing a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Mark chapter 1 and verse 3 reads regarding the messenger of John the Baptist. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist specifically taught to the Jews that the people of God were to turn from their sins and turn to God. In this, they might be able to recognize Jesus and become a true follower of the way. One more passage to support our thought of the recognition of sin is in 1 John 1 and 7 to 9. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have seen the purging involves the removal of the undesirable elements. If we could now look at the process of the purifier. The prophet Malachi uses the illustration for the process of the purifier. It's found in the word of the Lord to Israel in Malachi 3:1-3. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. The prophecy distinguishes between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Verse 18 and Malachi 3:17 says, they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Without going into a further study of this passage, we would like to see the illustration of the smelter. The refiner's art is essentially the working of precious metals. It involves the separation of the dross from the pure ore, and this is achieved by applying heat from a fire. The instruments used were a furnace, a crucible, a bellows or blowpipe, and the metal ore. A solvent called lye was also used. This is a strong alkaline solution, mostly from ashes, that is potash. And Isaiah 1:25 speaks to this. I will also turn my hand against you, and will smelt away your dross, as with lye, and will remove all your alloy. Yes, it is the alloy that needs removing. It is the, in this case, those of rebellious ways against the Lord God. The intermixing and intermingling of God's commands with the outside worship and the iniquity had turned Israel's silver to become dross, as verse 22 shows. What else do we know about the refiner? We know the refiner or purifier sat watching for the steps of the process. So time is an important feature of this job. With the heat applied, the metal goes through a reduction, and with this great observation by the refiner, he listens and then adds airflow from the billows as required to keep the right temperature and removing the slag. The crucible was used. It is described as a ceramic or metal container in which the melting metal compound was collected and held as liquid. In many hours, by observing the movements, the refiner continued with very intense heat to separate the dross or the impurities. The smelter was used to produce metal that was suitable for forging the material into something usable. Iron ore was for more common use, such as axes and nails. However, silver and gold was of higher value and purpose. The Lord God showed Jeremiah how the people in his time had a stubborn and rebellious heart by using the illustration of the refining in Jeremiah 6 and 28 to 30. All of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as a tale bearer. They are bronze and iron. They, all of them, are corrupt. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain, the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. They call them rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. Interestingly, a further meaning of a crucible is a severe trial or test. It is especially one that causes a lasting change or influence. The refiner or the purifier will continue to remove the dross, resulting in the silver or gold. And with this result, the heat is removed. The lesson fits in with the purifying process, and one that makes free from admixture. We need to be developed under the almighty hand of the Lord and developed into the image of his dear Son. Another example of purging in the scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 34. The young Josiah, even at the early age of 8, became king. And in his 8th year of the reign, he followed God's way. He would not look to the left or to the right. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 4 and 5, says in part, "In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem at the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. They tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence and the incense altars that were high above them. He chopped them down." And we see that King Josiah, by the 18th year of his reign, had purged the land and the house. And from there he instructed repair to the house of the Lord his God. We see the funds came from the remnant of Israel, Judah and Benjamin, and Jerusalem's inhabitants. Servants were entrusted and faithfully served. In this period, under the good king Josiah, there was a great humbling and a return to the true worship as God had commanded at that time. The purging was so necessary and even resulted in a return to celebrate the Passover. We should learn a lesson from King Josiah, as 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 31 says. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in this book. And so it was that King Josiah was a vessel of the Lord God, used in removing the abominations, and he did not turn from following the Lord God. Another illustration of separation and cleaning is the threshing. We read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 15 to 17. Now, while the people were in a state of expectation, all were wondering in their hearts about John, as to whether he was the Christ. John answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The threshing was done by beating and trampling or treading with wood or iron. One instance tells us of a cartwheel to remove the seed from the inedible chaff. We remember how Ruth gleaned and gathered after the reapers. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 17 it says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley was a dry measure that commentators say equaled 22 litres. We can imagine the hard work during the harvest to hand thresh this life-sustaining grain. Now, if we go back to our need to cleanse our own character, it was telling us to depart from iniquity. One area we can focus on is to be upright in our conduct. For we know we are to be tested. Proverbs 16:2-6. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. We are to be vessels, cleansed, honourable, for the Master's use. To be diligent is to be conscientious in one's work. Our profession is to confess Christ. And we are reminded our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are not our own. We can see that in our own time, perhaps in 1 Corinthians 6, and that's verse 19. We are to rightly divide the word of truth, as we are told in 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly divide is only used once in the scriptures and is orthotomio in the Greek, and it means to cut straight. Figuratively, it is to dissect, expound correctly. The divine message is to be cut in straight ways. Just like the profession in carpentry or masonry. Further on, or sotomio is to hold a straight course in doing right, and to make straight and smooth, to handle right, to teach the truth directly and correctly. May we each study aright, cutting in straight ways, and with knowledge develop understanding, and from the understanding it leads us to the wisdom that is from above. We are told in Daniel chapter 12, 9 and 10 by the messenger, he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand." Here at the close of the age, we are blessed to have the cleansing of the sanctuary with the reformation, the increase of light and knowledge, the scriptural opportunities, the insights. However, we are to continually clean out the old leaven, as 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7 says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sanctified." In conclusion, we are to abide in him and his word. We are to be cleansed for vessels of honour, for use by the Master. If we pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, and continually be cleaned by the washing of the water with the word, it will remove the sin in our life. By recognizing sin, we recalled the work of John the Baptist. We also looked at some thoughts on the purifier to produce the silver and the gold. We've noted the rebellion in Israel in Jeremiah's time and also the purging under King Josiah. We briefly touched on the threshing to produce that grain that reaches the light for life sustenance. It is with gratitude and patience may we all wait upon the Lord as he purges. Amen.